I know we're starting 5 minutes late, but that's okay. Vance Havner said many services start at 7 sharp and end at 8 dull, so we'll try not to end dull. So we don't start sharp and we won't end dull. How about that? Will, would you open in prayer for us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this night, Lord, and thank you for bringing us out tonight, that the service, Lord, may be truly honourable and faithful according to your will, Lord, and that we done according to thy purpose, Lord, and ordered according to thy will. We're from all the people who came about, with Stephen, Pat, and Esther, and Stephen, and Carl, and Norman, and Lord, Link and Frank Griffin, and also Lord, bring them to the time. That's them and keep them and grow them. For all the people there also in our congregation have got sicknesses or illnesses, whether the senators, not senators, Lord. Lord, help them, Lord, and heal them, Lord. Register their pain, Lord, and register their discomfort also, Lord. For if our landlord, if the ministers of religion or our saved, Lord, use them mightily to teach or to teach and to exhort those who are lost, Lord, to come to the full world of Christ, save them from their sin, Lord. And Lord, use this spirit for the stand and fight their world, Lord, to save souls mightily through their word, Lord. Lord, give us this day, Lord, and if Israel, Lord, give peace to Jerusalem, Lord, and prove the Jews, Lord, send messengers throughout Israel and throughout the world to talk to Jews, Lord, about their eternal condition without Christ Jesus, that they're lost in the sense, Lord, and use them to point them to the foot of the road cross that they may be saved. Prove this day as he gives the sermon tonight, Lord, give them a touch of the Spirit, Lord, and may we hear his message, Lord, and use it to touch our souls, Lord, and to give us just strength for the coming week and for the year, Lord, and for our lives, Lord, primarily, Lord. Bless this day, Lord. We are one for number. Give us the Spirit of Jesus Christ again. Amen.
Hymn number 324.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me, but I love
4:48 is our next one.
To Nahum chapter 2, just before Habakkuk. He that dasheth in pieces has come up before thy face. Keep the munition, watch the way, make thy loins strong, fortify thy power mightily. For the Lord hath turned away the excellency of Jacob as the excellency of Israel. For the emptiers have emptied them out and marred their vine branches. The shield of his mighty men is made red, the valiant men are in scarlet. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir tree shall be terribly shaken. The chariot shall rage in the streets. They shall jostle one against each other in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches. They shall run like lightnings. He shall recount his worthies. They shall stumble in the walk, they shall make haste to the wall thereof, and the defence shall be prepared. The gates of the rivers shall be opened, and the palace shall be dissolved, and Huzab shall be led away captive. She shall be brought up, and her maids shall lead her as with the voice of doves, tabering upon their breasts. But Nineveh is of old, like a pool of water, yet they shall flee away. Stand, stand, shall they cry, but none shall look back. Take ye the spoil of silver, take the spoil of gold, for there is none end of the store and glory out of all the pleasant furniture. She is empty and void and waste, and the heart melteth, and the knees smite together, and much pain is in all loins, and the faces of them all gather blackness. Where is the dwelling of the lions, and the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion, even the old lion, walked, and the lions whelped, and none made them afraid? The lion did tear in pieces, enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lionesses, and filled his holes with prey, and his dens with raving. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will burn her chariots in the smoke, and the sword shall devour thy young lions, and I will cut off thy prey from the earth, and the voice of thy messengers shall no more be heard. Amen.
We're good. There's prayer list there. All the requests are on them. If you pray about all that's on them, you'll cover pretty much everything. Hymn number 45 is our next hymn. You can stand or sit in this one. I feel like when we say that, everyone stands, but it's completely up to you. Some can be standing, some can be seated, or you can all stand or all sit. It doesn't matter. If your back's sore, stand up. If it's not, you're good to sit. Remember John, he's in hospital. Remember Nana as well, has a skin some sort of skin, I don't know what it is, it's an infection in the body somewhere that's causing a reaction in the skin all over her body. She's itching everywhere. Remember Steve as well, he was saying he has an ulcer in the foot, an open wound. That's what they're looking into the diabetes for, because every nurse that sees it says, are you diabetic? So remember Steve and Pat as well. It was good to have them with us. Remember absent brethren, and those that can't be here, and those especially that are grieving their lost loved ones. Was it 4:10? Faith is the victory. Is that the one? We'll sing this last one before we get into the message. Turn your Bibles with me, Acts chapter 6 if you would. Maybe half an hour, we'll see. Some people just started to sweat. Me included. This is a continuation of our study on the church and early church in the book of Acts. To this point we've been talking about the church as a whole. Tonight we're taking it down a level and we're talking about the individual church. The individual church. We're reading from verses 8 through 15, and this will finish out Acts chapter 6. in two parts. I think that's unheard of in this study so far, but there you go. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicilia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. Set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us." And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Amen. Mark, could you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, for life and health and strength, for, Lord, for the freedom to be here and the desire to be here. Pray your good hand upon each one of us. Pray for wisdom and understanding. And pray for Brother Christy as he brings us the message, Lord. Please bless and keep him as well. Supply him, keep him well supplied with words, with doctrine, with things, Lord, that will edify us and lift us up and straighten us and sort us out. Please also be with our absent brethren, with those that just can't be here, Lord, with those that have chosen not to be here, and Lord, those that have drifted away. Please, Lord, I pray you restore. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for watching over us. Please bless the remainder of this service, Father. Thank you and amen.
Well, we start by outlining the previous study, and the previous study was the servant church. I had some debate on the previous study, not after I had given it, but with myself before. It should have been the adaptable church, the problem-solving church, but we decided on the servant church. There was a need arose amongst the church, which caused the dispute amongst the Jews of the time. The Christians of the time were certain of the widows weren't being ministered to in the daily ministration. So what they did, instead of directing their focus from the Word of God and God Himself and the ministration of that, they delegated some responsibility to faithful men. And with that, we're introduced in verse 5 to Stephen, who is the focus of our text, an individual tonight in the study. And he's introduced to us as a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And what a testimony. You see, about Stephen, we read very little about his personal life. We don't know who his parents were. It's never mentioned. We don't know if he has a wife or children. But that wasn't important to Stephen. What was important to Stephen, as far as I can tell through what's in the Bible, is his faith and his walk with God. This was of sheer importance to him. He was fully persuaded of the Lord. He had full great faith and allowed himself to be directed of the Holy Ghost. And there's not many today that can reflect that faith and that walk that Stephen had. And we'll see over the next number of studies, possibly, just the extent to which Stephen held his faith. But in the early chapters of Acts, we see a church empowered by the Holy Ghost. We see many individuals being filled with the Holy Ghost as the clothing tongues of fire rested upon them. They spoke in tongues. There was many people healed and many words of God spoken and many people added to the church. We see a God that is interested in the purity of the church, as we see Ananias and Sapphira lie to the Holy Ghost and sell their land and bring forth a certain amount of it and make it out as if it was the whole lot. We also see decision of the apostles to delegate responsibility to not more minor but just as much needful ministries in the ministration of the saints rather than directing their focus. And then here we have Stephen, and Stephen was full of faith and power. It says in verse 8, he was only full of power because of his faith and because of his, I'm going to call it permission, the permission he gave to the Holy Ghost to lead in his life and guide in his life and remind him of all things. And through that faith and that power, it says that he did many wonderful miracles and wonders among the people. See, many Christians today I bet there is Christians that's full of faith and full of power, but they don't do their miracles among the people. We do them among our people. But this opens up, and Stephen has just been delegated to the responsibility. He was going about it faithfully, fulfilling it, I'm sure, because his testimony is that he was full of faith, being faithful. Doesn't say that there's anyone else with him when he is doing these great wonders and miracles. Yet he's going about doing it, doing many wonders and miracles. See, many of us Christians are only strong in the crowd. Many of us Christians only think that we can serve when there's more than one of us. And I meant to sing "Dare to Be a Daniel." But if we don't get that, that's okay. But Stephen, regardless of who was with him or where he was, he stayed the course. He walked. He paced that path that was set out before him. He walked God's plan, talked God's plan, was bold in it, he was full of knowledge and wisdom. But as with any Christian growth and perseverance in this life, to live a Christian life, there comes opposition. Verse number 9, it says, "Those of the synagogue of the Libertines, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and of those of Cilicia and Asia." And I want us to notice one thing here. It goes on to say that they bribe people, or suborned is the word used. How would Luke know this? I want us to be aware that Paul isn't saved at this point. Paul is at this point Saul of Tarsus. Tarsus is in Cilicia. So it may very well be, and there's some disputing about this, that Paul told Luke about this after the fact when it happened. But you know, they raised up false accusations and stirred up the people. So that's where Luke got this wisdom in writing this in the book of Acts. But Paul even gives testimony, I think it's in Acts chapter 9, and we'll see it. He said, "I stood by the death of Stephen and consented unto it." So Paul even gave witness to that fact himself. But here we have a dispute, and as with any, if you've grown any as a Christian, and you've outgrown your friends, not Christian friends, but your old worldly friends and lost friends, you'll see that there have been some disputes in your life. You'll see that there's been some opposition, that there's been some maybe arguments and just a separating of ways. But this was Christians, supposed Christians in the synagogue disputing with Stephen. They had heard the words that he had said. They had seen him faithfully fulfilling his duty and his responsibility that was delegated to him. Because Stephen was full of the Spirit, was being guided by God and his word and his Holy Spirit, they weren't able to beat him in a fair fight. Verse number 10 says, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." And there's no evidence at all that Stephen was a smarter man than these men were. There was no evidence at all that he was better educated. This victory of Stephen should purely be put down to the power given to him by the Holy Ghost, by the knowledge that he had gleaned from the Old Testament, and his faithfulness in the service to Christianity. You see, he had the right wisdom, or the right idea of worship. It was throw your whole lot in with God in the face of death, in the face of persecution. Doesn't matter who came against him. He knew that he was standing right with God, and all else didn't matter. When they couldn't beat him with a fair fight, they bribed some people. It says they suborned, which means to bribe or to hire people. And they brought about false accusations. Again, the accusations that they bring about remind me of the accusations that they brought about to Jesus. Speaking blasphemous words, they attacked his faith and got the people that had been hearing him preach. They stirred them up just to make small of any words that they had started to believe that Stephen was preaching. See, in verse 9, they dispute with him. Stephen has more wit and wisdom than they do. And the Bible, Jesus did say that the Holy Spirit will give you words that will give you victory over gainsayers and naysayers. They won't be able to dispute with us when we're being led. But what a great testimony this, along with the further accusations on down in verse 14 where it talks of Jesus of Nazareth. See, Stephen was using the Old Testament to point to Jesus and the experience that the apostles had and shared with him about their walk with Jesus. He was preaching about Jesus. And this is testimony of Stephen's biblical knowledge, that he could take the Old Testament and point towards the Messiah that had already been.
Mm-hmm.
and show the Jews just exactly who they had put on the cross. He had his sword. Not only did he have his sword, he used the sword and knew how to skillfully wield it and bear it. See, each one of us here tonight, we have a sword. We're sitting with our Bibles in our laps. But do we really know how to skillfully use, to rightly divide the word of truth, to rightly study, to memorize, to read, to make a friend of the Bible? Just to be so acquainted with our Bible that it knows us as best as anyone can, and we know it as best we can. I'm not sure we do. Not sure we do. But there's a wonder about Stephen here as we close the chapter, and it's verse number 15. In spite of being arrested, of these people being accused, falsely accused, he didn't care about his own reputation or his own standing amongst the people in the neighborhood and society. He faced these accusers and said nothing. Again, another pointer towards Jesus Christ, when as a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Stephen doesn't open his mouth, doesn't try to rebuke these accusations, not as yet anyway. But they don't see horror, they don't see hatred on the face of Stephen, they see heaven on the face of Stephen. It says that they had saw his face as it had been the face of an angel, as they stared at him, as the false accusers brought about all the words they had against him. Really, what I wanted to get to tonight is, what is a church? What is a church but a collection of individuals that's united by the great love of God and the precious blood of Jesus? And what an individual to look at and compare ourselves with, such as Stephen. Faithful throughout all life, persevered through the hard times. Bold in preaching God's word and proclaiming his word. Knowledgeable in his Bible. And had he counted his life for naught for the sake of Christ.
Amen.
He stood with those that were about to kill him. And he exhibited such great grace here, as he said nothing. And almost, when I read that he had the face they saw as one having the face of an angel, I think of Moses when he came down from the mount.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that was in such close contact with God in his daily walking that his face was glowing.
Mm-hmm.
There was no long face here at his rest. I also think of Joseph, who was cast in prison, sold as a slave, falsely accused of immorality. Yet he served where he was put. There's been many individuals that have written themselves into the history books of the church. Rahab the harlot, through her belief that these were God's children.
Yeah.
Remember that scarlet hanging down from the window that saved her life? Written into the lineage of Christ as well. Mm-hmm. Moses, as he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Noah, as he built the ark. The world had never seen rain. Think of Enoch, Elijah, think of Joseph, Daniel, Nehemiah, Jesus, Paul, Stephen, Peter. There's many, many. Even past biblical times, I think on George Mueller, I think on David Livingstone. And there's many, many others. Fanny Crosby, we sang one or more of her hymns today. Little blind girl as well, had done many wonderful things. But I don't see many people today writing themselves into the history books of the church, because we have got so comfortable in our way of living. Stephen didn't care about the world's comforts. He didn't care about his reputation. He knew that he had a heavenly reputation, that he wasn't a citizen of this world. He was just a stranger passing by. He's a citizen of heaven. Heaven is his home. Earth was just the transition period to get there. But we're making home on earth. Our hearts are set on things here. Our affections are set on things here. And the Bible says that where your heart is, or where your affection is, your heart will be. We need to set our things on things of heaven. We have treasures there if we have done any faithful work for the Lord. If we have faithfully ministered to people. If we have accepted Jesus, we have a mansion there. We have brethren that have gone on before us there that's cheering us on. And Stephen, even as he goes on, and I want you to know that blasphemy in the law of Moses was a death by stoning.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed through, as we'll see in the next chapter or two. But he's seen heaven whilst he was on earth. Not only in his death, but in his life. As he fellowshipped with God Almighty. As he faithfully fulfilled his duty on this earth as a Christian. He's seen heaven. And I think there's a lack of vision amongst the church. We're short-sighted. We're not long-sighted any longer. We see the small pictures in front of us, but no longer the big picture. You see, it takes faithful service to write yourselves into the church history books. It takes devotion. It takes dedication. It takes sacrifice. It takes perseverance. And these are traits that I see are just falling off Christians by the day. And it's sad to watch. Even, and I count myself in that. I'm a Christian, so if I say Christians, I'm there under that umbrella. I'm turning and reading Colossians 3. Read two verses. Verses 2 and 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We see death as a one-time event. And it is, but there is a daily death of Christians as well. We should die to self, we should die to sin, we should die to Satan every day and live with Christ and for Christ and in Christ. Our affections have been on all that this world has to offer and are on. But that can change so easily. You know, it doesn't mean just because it's always been that way that we need to continue therein.
Mm-hmm.
It's as close as we've ever been to Jesus returning. And today can be the day that we start setting our affections on things on high,
mm-hmm.
on heavenly things. These words, they sum up the life of Stephen, Colossians 3, 2 and 3. What a great example that we have that God gave us through Stephen. A very, very short portion of the Bible. But what a powerful testimony it is of a Christian. And if there's anyone, I think it too, when I say, I used to say this about Joseph, and I don't change my opinion. I think we still should look towards Joseph as an example, you know, as a way to strive to live, but also Stephen. If you can't look at Jesus and take the full life of Jesus and you need someone else that's not God, then take Stephen and take Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
They're about as close to Jesus as you can get. And if you build your Christian life based on their lives and what God tells you to do, you'll not go far wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But we are one body made up of multiple members, the Bible says. You know, Christ is the head and the members are split up amongst the church. But if one member isn't performing its duties, the rest of the body has to pick up the pieces. If my right arm's injured, I have to use my left arm for a certain thing as well as everything else that I would normally use it for. If my left leg's injured, then all my weight goes on my right one. And that puts extra pressure on the rest of the members of the body, especially the right leg. So when you're not fulfilling your duty, someone else is picking up the pressure. It's adding extra pressure to our brethren when we're not doing our duty. It's adding extra workload on them. It's adding extra stress and worry on them as well. So when we're not in our place, somebody else has to be there to fulfill that for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no better Christian with your name than you are. No one else can be as good a Will Ritchie as Will Ritchie is. No one else can be better John McMahon than John McMahon is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying these are the best versions of you today, but there is a day or will be days where you are the best version of you. But we can have that every day. If we wake up with that childlike wonder every day and say, God, what do you want me to do today?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go on an adventure. Amen. That we are a church is individuals. Each one of us are Bethel Baptist Church. Bethel Baptist Church isn't the building. It's the people inside the building. And I once heard a message on Christians compared with thermometers and thermostats. We can all be thermometers that just tell the temperature of the church and complain about everything. But a thermostat goes a step further. It reads the temperature and does everything in its power to raise it up. Just because there's problems in the church, don't just complain about them. Let's see what we can do to change it. And we can start by changing ourselves. When we make a change on ourselves, other Christians will see that. And they'll be encouraged to change what they need to change as well. Amen. We are an individual, but we affect much more than just ourselves. No man liveth or dieth to himself, the Bible says. Let us be the best version of Bethel Baptist Church that we can be, or whatever church you attend. John, did you have a hymn that you want us to close with?
102.
I'm assuming I know it. I'm hoping I know it by the turn there.
Yep.
He hideth my soul.
Covers me there with his
judgment seat. When our works are brought before God, He's not judging the church. He's judging us as individuals. You know, and it's not a good enough excuse to say, well, the church didn't do it, or such and such in the church didn't do it. It's just us. It's just us. Amen. So let us be good individuals as Christians. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You for the day, for Your goodness, Lord. We thank You for Your word, for the examples that You've given us in Your word, Lord, to help us, Lord, along the trials and tribulations, the oppositions, Lord, the persecutions. But, Lord, we're thankful for those men in the early church that stood faithful, Lord, and stayed strong and stood their accusers bold in the face, Lord. And, Lord, just based their whole lives upon the faith of Christ. Thank You for salvation today, Lord, for our like-minded brethren that's here amongst us as well. We thank You for answered prayers, Lord, for walking with us as well. Thank You, Lord, for the Christian life. Lord, for the love that You poured into each one of us, Lord, when You sent Your Son to die for us as well and take our place. Help us, Lord, to walk with You each day, to have an open ear for the small, still voice, Lord, and just be, Lord, the best individual that we can be, Lord, for You and for Christ, Lord, to reach this lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, remember those that are sick. We pray for those, Lord, for John especially in hospital, for Steve, Lord, with his infection on the foot, Lord, with the pre-diabetes that's being investigated, for Nina with the infection, Lord, I pray that the doctors would find it as well. Pray especially, Lord, for Rita's family, that You'd comfort them at this time, for Norman as well. Lord, for the Gilbert family, Lord, as well, and the cousin's family, Lord, for Pat, Lord, and her family as well, after seeing Ron pass on as well. Lord, help us, guide us, and lead us, we pray. Save lost souls. Lord, just strengthen Your church. Lord, draw back backsliders in Jesus' name. Amen.